Samsung presented their processing and memory work at Hot Chips 2026, and the Chips and Cheese write-up that surfaced on 8chan this week does a good job of explaining why this matters beyond the usual conference hype. The core problem PIM tries to solve is one of the more stubborn constraints in modern computing, the von Neumann bottleneck, sometimes called the memory wall. Every time a processor needs data, it has to fetch it across a bus from DRAM, and that round trip is slow and energy-hungry relative to actual computation. For most workloads over the past decade, that's been manageable. For AI inference at scale, it's becoming the primary constraint.
The business angle here is significant. NVIDIA dominates compute, but memory bandwidth has become the choke point that determines throughput for transformer-based models. Samsung is betting that if you move compute closer to or literally inside the memory, you can break that dependency. They're not the first to try this. Micron's HBM PIM work goes back several years. But Samsung's Hot Chips presentation is showing more maturity in the architecture. And the timing matters because the AI inference market is enormous and growing fast.
What's technically interesting is the trade-off space. You gain on bandwidth dramatically, but you give up flexibility and programmability. The compute units inside the memory die are simpler than what you'd find in a GPU core. They're good at specific matrix and vector operations, which happens to be exactly what transformer inference needs. But the software stack to actually utilize PIM efficiently is still immature. The HN discussion had several people who work on ML infrastructure pointing out that even if the hardware is ready, the toolchain gap is substantial.
This is a pattern in semiconductor history. The hardware arrives before the software ecosystem catches up, and the adoption curve is flatter than the hardware roadmap suggests. High bandwidth memory itself was commercially available years before most frameworks could actually use it efficiently. So the question for Samsung isn't just does PIM work, it clearly does in controlled benchmarks, it's whether they can seed enough software development to build a real ecosystem around it.
There's also a competitive context here. SK Hynix has been very aggressive in HBM supply for AI workloads, and their relationship with NVIDIA has been a strategic advantage. Samsung is looking for a way to differentiate beyond just being another HBM supplier, and PIM is part of that answer. Whether it lands commercially depends heavily on whether hyperscalers decide to invest in custom silicon that can pair with it, which is not a trivial decision.
On the topic of hardware and infrastructure, that Turbo KV story also caught my eye. This is a Rust-based key-value store posted to GitHub that scored 111 points and generated 50 comments, which for a systems programming project on a Saturday is solid engagement. The claims are aggressive. Extremely fast write throughput, low tail latency, designed specifically for SSD native access patterns. The HN thread had healthy skepticism about the benchmarking methodology, which is always appropriate when someone says insanely fast in the project description.
The interesting thing about Turbo KV is the design philosophy it represents. There's been a cluster of Rust-based storage projects in the last 2 years that are explicitly building for NVMe native access patterns rather than treating SSDs as slightly faster spinning disks. ROCs, DB, and similar systems were designed when SSDs were still relatively new, and the abstraction layers made sense. The new wave is asking what you'd build if you assumed NVMe from day one and could bypass the kernel's block layer entirely for certain operations. Turbo KV seems to be in that school.
The benchmark debate in the HN comments is instructive regardless of where Turbo KV lands. Tail latency is the metric that actually matters for production systems, and it's the one that's easiest to make look good in a micro benchmark by controlling conditions that you can't control in reality. Disk scheduling, other tenants on the same machine, compaction pauses, these are the things that turn a P99 latency that looks great on a chart into a P99.9 that causes real user pain.
Speaking of what happens when things don't work as advertised, that Go runtime bug story is a good companion piece. Someone tracked down a bug in Go's network polar on 32-bit embedded systems that was causing intermittent hangs. The detective work is genuinely impressive. They're dealing with a platform that the Go runtime doesn't heavily prioritize in testing, which means the bug had been lurking in a corner case that most developers never exercise. The write-up walks through the debugging process in a way that's worth reading even if you never touch 32-bit Go.
The meta lesson there is about testing coverage for minority platforms. Most Go development happens on 64-bit x86 or ARM. The assumptions baked into the runtime about pointer sizes and atomic operations don't always transfer cleanly to 32-bit targets. Embedded systems developers using Go, and there are more of them than you might expect, are essentially operating in a less traveled part of the codebase where integration testing is sparse.
There's a parallel to the PIM discussion, actually. Both are about what happens at the edges, edge hardware, edge architectures, where the assumptions of mainstream tooling don't hold and developers have to dig much deeper than the abstraction layer normally allows.
Well, the cursor acquisition story is anything but edge. That one is very much center stage for the developer community. Let's get into it.